Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a great good morning to you. It is October 15th already, a gorgeous day to get out to play. Yes, we may have a few showers, but partly sunny skies. Windward and Mauka on the leeward side, mostly sunny, high between 83 and 88. And the trade winds, lovely, 15 to 25 miles per hour, keeping it cool, locally higher gusts so you can practice your wind game. Well, okay, Tiger Woods not playing at Safeway Open. Bob Bubka not going to Turkey. We'll talk with Bob right after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Hoi Poo Bay Golf Course. 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for 10 years. It's an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Hoi Poo Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, company, or home into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. By Claude Rousseau, master PGA professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach, and Aim Point certified Golf Channel lead coach. You need a lesson with Claude Rousseau. And by Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business. Raynor Doors. And Creative Plumbing. Whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or townhouse, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing.
Let's get out to Poi Pu Bay, the Hawaii Auto Dealers Association. They've got a shotgun going off right about now at Poi Pu Bay Golf Course. So there's no Ocean 9 or Ocean 11 today. That'll be next Saturday. And that'll be tomorrow. That'll be any other day other than today, because there's a shotgun. Hawaii Auto Dealers Association, may you all hit the sweet spot every time. All right, Bob Bubka, voice of World Golf Radio, golf reporter for Talk Sport in the UK, and of course the host of the Grill Room Golf Show on TuneIn and Talk Sport. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Well, I don't know, Danielle. That was quite a interesting segue. You mentioned a lot of wind.
Yes.
You mentioned turkey.
Yes.
You mentioned shotgun.
Yes.
And then you say, let's go to Bob.
Hey, turkey, let's go shoot some shotgun.
How are you, Danielle?
I'm excellent. It's Saturday. It's got to be a great day, right? It's the weekend, and we can play golf if we want. But Tiger doesn't want to. He does not want to play golf. He committed to the Safeway Open. Everybody's excited. 30,000 tickets were sold just on his word alone that he was committing to go. I imagine a lot of people made reservations to stay someplace in Napa just so they could see the return of the Tiger to the course. And then he said, I think I'm not going to play.
Pretty interesting comment by Johnny Miller on the early coverage of that Safeway Open, when Johnny Miller actually said he wasn't convinced that Tiger ever had any intention of playing there. And, you know, I found that to be rather interesting. I have no idea what motivated Johnny Miller to say that, but he feels that way. I think I have another interesting theory, and I'd like to run it by you and your listeners. You know, what happened to Tiger is he committed a few weeks back, as a matter of fact, submitted a three-tournament schedule, one in October, Safeway, November, Turkey, and then his event down in the Bahamas in December. And then he was at the Ryder Cup, okay, and he was firsthand right there. I mean, he followed that Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy match, and I'm not so sure that when he was watching, it didn't start creeping into his head, wait a minute, my game right now is nowhere near the level of these guys, and came back, tried playing a couple of practice rounds to see if he could mentally trick himself into thinking that he was, you know, fully prepared to compete, was unable to do so, and then left no option other than going there and embarrassing himself, just WDing and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. Unfortunately, I agree with you. The 30,000 people that bought tickets, it doesn't seem fair, and I'm sure that they weren't even given the option of getting a refund. I hope they drank plenty of wine. Napa's a great area.
Yes.
I hope they had a good time anyway.
Well, Johnny Miller is the host, one of the hosts in Napa. This is his course. Didn't he design it?
Yes, he did, and he's the part owner of the resort. He certainly was happy with the fact that Tiger announced that he was going to make his return at basically his event.
Bob, happy doesn't describe it. He was like beside himself with glee. He was so excited. He was, yay, 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 fist pump, fist pump, fist pump. Yay, Tiger's going to be at my, you know, I mean, he was. So when he comes back and says, I don't think he ever had any intention of playing in my event, I'm going with what you said because it goes right along the line of what Greg Norman said. Greg Norman said, when you watch other guys shooting 63s and then you start wondering if you can do it, there's a whole lot of negative self-talk that starts happening no matter who you are. He hasn't played competitively in over a year. And in his statement, when he said, I'm not ready, I'm not going to play, neither Safeway nor Turkey, and I apologize profusely, he added the word vulnerable.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, getting back to the fact that, you know, he was at the Ryder Cup and was watching these guys not only play but practice, just think of a normal player, a PGA Tour player, that's out for any length of time due to an injury or whatever, mainly obviously due to injuries. You would never see that player go to an event prior to his return mm-hmm. and watch firsthand how that event unfolded and get a feeling for the caliber of golf they're playing. They would just go to the event, tee it up, and see what happens. But Tiger, because of circumstances of the vice captain, was put in a position where he had to watch, he had to absorb the quality of play. And, you know, if you watch Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy in that match, or even Phil Mickelson and Sergio Garcia, where they both shoot 63, any competitor would say, hey, wait a minute, my game's not up to this level, so I'm going to hold off on coming back for a while. However, we could be discussing, Danielle, maybe for the first time ever, a realistic thought that maybe we're not going to see Tiger anymore.
Well, that kind of goes along with a couple of lines. Dave Stockton was watching Tiger Woods at Ryder Cup, and he said that Tiger looked fit and ready. Stockton was surprised when Tiger withdrew. Then there's a question of what Randy Smith, and this is all from Golf Digest, an article they brought all these teachers together to talk about why this word vulnerable and what it means in their mind. Randy brought up that there's the yips factor and that maybe Tiger couldn't handle the public embarrassment of a double chip or a stabbing, or because hooking it, you can handle. You know, that's not so bad because you can come back from a bad drive. He always has. But the yips, says Randy Smith, embarrasses the golfer, the professional golfer, to the core, to a place that you may not recover from. So that's interesting what you're saying, that we may be talking about Tiger actually retiring permanently from competitive play. Do you, is that just something you're feeling?
Well, you know, first I want to get back to the comment by Dave Stockton. He said he saw Tiger, he was fit, and he appeared ready. Well, Dave Stockton took a look at me, and he said, you're unfit, and I don't think you're ready. So, you know, everybody's going to have their own opinion. Only Tiger knows, you know, what's inside that psyche. And as any golfer can sympathize, I mean, when you talk about Shank, and I apologize to all your listeners getting ready to go play because they don't like hearing that word.
Right.
That shot is so strange that you can't even duplicate it. In other words, you can't. Somebody that suffers from that affliction of shanking the golf ball, if you ask them to shank a shot, they can't do it. So, I mean, that's why it's so difficult to cure. It's just something that's inside of you, and we certainly saw it quite a bit with Tiger. Normally, you see it on the greens with, you know, with the short putts, but when you have it with your chips, it's even more embarrassing. And, you know, Tiger's a very, very proud individual. And, you know, all you have to do is do some simple math. You know, when Tiger was hitting it at his best, he would have been right now 30, 40 yards behind Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy. That's when he was hitting it at his best. Now, we got to subtract, 10 yards, 20 yards, because he's not at his best. He's 40 years old now. Uh-huh. So now you take that 20 yards away from when he hit it at his best. Now he's going to be 60, 70 yards behind Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy. And that kind of distance you can't make up. He was the one that had that edge over his competitors, and they couldn't make it up. And Tiger fully realizes that, you know, just take 50 yards. That's five clubs. I mean, Tiger's going to hit a 4-iron, they're going to hit a 9-iron, and he's going to be competitive? I don't think so.
Yeah, Bob Bubka, if Tiger Woods were listening, I'd be so deflated I'd just walk away from the game after listening to what you just said about his...
Well, he is your number one listener. What do you mean if he's listening?
Yes, right, there you go.
He listens all the time.
Well, Bill Harmon said exactly what you said. He said if Tiger Woods was watching them play golf the way he used to play, it was probably a wake-up call that he wasn't close. And Harmon went on to say, I just wish he'd be honest about it, have a press conference, spend 30 minutes telling people what's going on with his game. Some of this stuff makes me so mad, all this speculation he brings on himself by being so secretive. You know, at some point, I thought he was going to get past that. And if he would just come out and talk about it, maybe that would release at least some of those demons that are floating around in his head. I think the speculation does him more harm than good, and he brings it so much of it on himself. Let's switch gears. You're not going to go to Turkey, and the reason I said that at the top of the show is because you were going to go talk sport. Correspondent Bob Bubka, host of the Grill Room Golf Show on TuneIn Radio. He was going to go, Bob was going to go to Turkey if Tiger pulled off some pretty good golf here at the Safeway Open, of course. Now, Tiger's not playing at Safeway Open. He's not going to Turkey. We'll see him in December. Dustin Johnson, we're going to see him at the Tournament of Champions on Maui. He says he's going to play Tournament of Champions, the player of the year who didn't vote for himself. What did you think of that?
Well, I think he was clearly the... number one player on tour last year. I mean, you know, when you win the U.S. Open, you win a World Golf Championship event, you know, and then you win a, you know, playoff event. I mean, Dustin Johnson is right now, and you and I talked about it on previous shows, Danielle. He always seemed, you know, he had the ability. It just didn't come to the forefront. I attributed a lot of his lack of success due to the fact that, you know, he really loves his brother and he's had him on the bag. And, you know, it was an amateur caddy while other players were having professional caddies. But, you know, his brother now has, you know, been out there for a while. He's gotten a lot better. Dustin Johnson has gotten a lot better. You know, I mean, golly, when you hit the ball like that and he improved his wedge play so much. You know, he worked so hard on his short game that, you know, somebody that hits it a country mile and is razor sharp with their short game, you know, they're tough to beat.
Yeah, and that was Tiger. That was Tiger. You know, just really good. And now also with Tiger, going back to Dustin Johnson, a Byron Nelson Award for lowest scoring average, Arnold Palmer Award for leading money list, Emilio Grillo, Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, he was delightful. We got to spend some time with him out at Maui, which I am already looking forward to.
Me too.
I had to resist the urge this morning knowing that I was going to have the pleasure of coming on the air with you. I got this strange urge to pack my bag like I was getting ready to go to Maui or something. But, Bob, calm down. It's a couple of months away. But it is certainly a special trip to a special place, and I get to spend some time with you in person. I look forward to that. And, you know, the people there, they do such a great job with that event, and it raises so much money for the local charities. I'm just proud to have been going there for, golly, must be 15, 16 years now. So, but each time it seems better than the time before.
Yes. And I just wanted to mention, because you knew Gary Planos very well, and the Gary Planos Endowment Tournament is going to be at the Kapalua Bay Course on November 14th to raise money and awareness for the Evans Scholars Foundation. It's a 12 p.m. shotgun, and following golf, there's going to be an awards and some of Gary's favorite Hawaiian cuisine. WGA director Gary Planos began as a caddy at Westmoreland Country Club in Wilmette, Illinois, attended the University of Illinois on an Evans scholarship, and then after graduating, he came to Hawaii to start his career. So that's Kapalua Bay Course, November 14th. Give Kapalua a call if you'd like to register and be in that 12 p.m. shotgun, followed by the dinner. I wish you could be there, Bob.
I really do, because ironically enough, and I'm very proud that they're holding a tournament in his name. You know, we lost Arnold Palmer recently, and I knew Arnold Palmer, I knew Gary Planos, and they shared a lot of similar characteristics. I mean, Arnie, whenever you spent any time with him, he made you feel good. You know, and that's rare, being in the media, that, you know, it's a work situation, yet when it involved Mr. Palmer, you came away with a different feeling. Whenever you were in the presence of Gary Planos, when you left that, you know, situation where you were with him, you felt better. I mean, Gary just cared about everybody so much. And, you know, it was a crushing blow to lose him like we did. And I think anybody that has the opportunity to play in this event, and so glad that you're publicizing it, I think they should play, help out. I wish I could be there. I really do. And I may even have to look into the possibility of just coming over there just for that event, because of how special Gary Planos really was.
Yeah, he always said that he had a smile on his face. Is there something I can do for you? Do you need anything? Right. Is there anything you need? That was one of the first things he said after saying, hi, how are you? Bob Bubka, we'll have to talk again soon, since you're not going to Turkey, but Tiger Woods will be playing. Do you think he'll be playing at his Hero World Challenge?
Well, I know one thing that has to make him feel good. If he plays in that, I'm going to bet a lot of money that he finishes in the top 20. Only because there are only 18 competitors.
Thank you. This is Bob Bubka, Talk Sport correspondent and host of the Grill Room Golf Show on TuneIn. We'll talk soon. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, we're going to come back right after this. Dave Shedlosky, he wrote with Arnold Palmer. So it was Arnold Palmer's book, A Life Well Played, My Stories. And Dave Shedlosky is going to talk with me about the writing of it right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends.
When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Let's see. 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back into the clubhouse. So we've got a couple of tee times you might like to take advantage of. Makalei has a 920 and a 1010. Volcano, it's a chilly 58 degrees, probably feels magnificent. There's a 948 and a 1030. Beautiful course there. Speaking of beautiful, Royal Hawaiian Country Club, a 930 and a 1010 and a 1050. Olomana has an 1115, also a 930. And Makaha East has an 845, a 908, a 923. Wailea on Maui, the gold and the emerald course, a 944. All right, let's get into a book that just came out. And it was pretty, the timing was amazing, actually. Arnold Palmer's final book. It's a collection of shorts, short stories, short thoughts on different things about his life. The book is Arnold Palmer, A Life Well Played. And the person, I'm looking back in the acknowledgments, you know, when you go back in the book, you should always go back in the book. I have written a number of books in the past. This one was particularly important to me because as I delved into the process, I realized just how much I wanted to say to my friends in golf and to fans of the game in general. This is Arnold Palmer's acknowledgments at the back of the book, Arnold Palmer, A Life Well Played, My Stories. He goes on to say, going through the exercise of getting it all down has been personally satisfying, but I couldn't have done it without a dedicated group of individuals who truly believed in this project. He starts with his team at La Trobe and Orlando. He, of course, thanks his wife, Kit, for being so very supportive. And then he goes on to say, and a special thanks to Dave Shedlosky for rolling up his sleeves and bringing great care and energy to our collaborative effort. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Well, thank you, Danielle. And you know what? I don't think I can make any of those tee times you just mentioned.
Oh, so, darn. But the question is, will you be here for the Sony or the Tournament of Champions?
I will make those indeed. But right now, Columbus, Ohio is a nice place.
It's a beautiful place. Absolutely gorgeous. And I have to talk to you about the writing of the book before we maybe talk a little bit about some of the chapters. And the chapters are just a few pages on life, on winning, on pressure, so many different things that he talks about. Tell me how this came about. Tell us how this came about.
Well, it's just like a lot of other things. You get a phone call, and on the other end was Alistair Johnston of IMG, who's been Arnold Palmer's longtime advisor and business leader, and he had an idea that he was following up on an idea, I should say, that he and his team and Arnold had for writing another book, and I thought he wanted to just sort of talk to me about it, maybe write a story when, you know, the book came out or something. And no, he wanted me to help Mr. Palmer. Mr. Palmer had said that I had made the short list. And would I do it? And I had to think about it for 2 or 3 seconds before even knowing what exactly maybe, you know, they wanted to pay me for it. And they paid me up front. I make no money on the book sales at the end here. All the book sales, I want to get that up front. All the book sales benefit the Arnold Palmer or Arnie's Army Charitable Foundation. So I'm just happy to promote the book to raise money for that. But getting back to the story, then we I went into a period of several months of just researching all of the different things about Arnold, read his books, sat down with he and his team to talk about things that that maybe he would like to touch on, and then spent a week with him in La Trobe talking about those things and getting reminiscences or different thoughts or maybe a lesson or something that he got out of it. Went back to writing it, went over the process with him again to see if he, you know, had if I had gotten the words and the information correct the way he wanted it, and here we are.
Wow. You worked with him on Golden Twilight with Arnold about Jack Nicklaus, didn't you?
I did. I asked him if he would write the foreword to Jack's book, and he was extremely happy to do that. I mean, the myth is always that Jack and Arnold didn't get along, and yes, they were rivals. Yes, they competed fiercely. Yes, occasionally they disagreed with each other on a subject or something, but they were always friends. They were always friendly to each other, and they always helped each other, and they were always there for each other right up to the end, as you saw with Jack at at Arnold's memorial service.
Mm. Tell me, this is Dave Shedlosky, Golf World, GolfDigest.com, contributor, author, editor, and he worked with Arnold Palmer on Arnold Palmer's book, A Life Well Played, My Stories. When did this come out in relation to when Arnold Palmer died?
Well, it's kind of strange. We had we really had completed much of the book by the end of April as far as going through the editing process, make sure we had everything correct, and then, of course, it's just a matter of months for the publisher, St. Martin's Press, to put it together, make sure that they have it ready to go. And frankly, I thought it was going to be out around his birthday, which was September 10th. And then, of course, you know, the news came in that he had passed, and they were ready to go with it about October 24th, moved it up a couple weeks in lieu of Mr. Palmer's passing.
Yeah.
And, you know, but either way, even if they hadn't moved it up, just the fact that it was within the month of,
I know,
of him dying is it's pretty incredible. It's, as I wrote in one story that I did, that this is sort of his last gift for, you know, to us of, you know, his wisdom and his wit, the things he wanted to talk about that that kind of live on when he no longer can give voice to them.
Yeah, and so I'm going through, and of course the first thing I think of is how wonderful a person he was. And his manners, the way he conducted himself with people, complete strangers, his considerate letters back to someone who wrote to him, speaking to you in a letter as though he really knew you. And that's just how he was. And people hear that and say, well, eh. But everybody who's ever met Arnold Palmer will tell you the same thing. And it's not, you know, just to make somebody feel impressed or to make yourself feel good or to say what a great guy he is. That's just the way he was, right, Dave?
Yeah, that truly is the essence of the magic of the man. Arnold learned well from his parents. His father was very insistent on being a certain way, acting with integrity, with respect, with sportsmanship. His mother was, of course, a great influence on him, and he talks about her in the book, which we really haven't known a lot about her in you know, a lot of what he talks about, because his father was such a huge influence on his life. But his mom, you know, had a great influence on his personality, and the fact that he did treat, he had this ability to just associate with anybody and to treat them in a way that he would have wanted to be treated, and that was regardless of who they were. And yeah, that is his gift. That was his gift, and it was genuine.
So one of the there are two or three pages, and it's big type. It's not like it's real small. So you read it, and it's little snippets. One of them is manners, and he talks about, my father was a stickler on this. Among many things he thought were important, as an example, I don't find it polite for men to wear hats indoors.
Right.
That came from Arnold's father. And God forbid if you dared enter a dwelling or be in the presence of a woman and forget to remove your cap. Pap would snatch it off and take part of your scalp with it for such a transgression.
Yeah, that's that was one of those little things that he talked about, and you go, wow,
yeah.
Maybe we need more of that today, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, I mean, there are many stories at Bay Hill with players who had forgotten to take their hat off in the clubhouse, and Arnold, in his inimitable way, would not scold that player. He would not in any way embarrass that player. He might just make some kind of wry comment about, I didn't know that we, you know, weren't standing on ceremony today, or something of that nature, and it would occur to them, oh yeah, my hat, you know. And it would be just that, sort of that gentle needling or nudging that was part of his personality, again, of treating people in a way that made them not feel embarrassed or bad about themselves or any such thing. He always had a way of just saying the right thing at the right time.
Sort of a grandfatherly reminder to those young transgressors.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. And then in the same manners, he talks about the new trend to wear facial hair.
Oh, he hated that.
Oh.
Absolutely hated that. And I think there is a story in there, yeah, with Tim Finchem and, just certain things to him were important as far as how you presented yourself, and he lived that. That was his, you know,
yes,
that was his thing, is to live by example the way his father would have wanted him to, and his mom. And so, you know, he just thought that there were certain things that you needed to do, especially men, and how you present yourself, and it would be respectful and professional. And and clean.
So in the story about the facial hair, Alistair Johnston must have been a very close friend, right?
Well, his longtime advisor. I mean, Alistair came on in the 70s, I believe, when Mark McCormick brought him in and said, "Hey, look, you're in charge of this guy named Arnold Palmer, and you know, even though I'm still his lead representative, you're going to help me." And of course, Alistair went on to become chairman of Arnold Palmer Enterprises, which he a role he has today. So yes, they were extremely close and spent a lot of time together.
So they're sitting around. I think it was over a dinner, and Arnold mentioned that David Duvall was sporting a beard, and Arnold thought that was simply unbecoming of an open champion of all.
Right.
You'd have facial hair. And Alistair wheeled his gaze around the room at the portraits of past champions like old Tom Morris, Willie Park, and others. And, of course, they all had healthy facial hair. I'm reading from Arnold Palmer's book now. I had to laugh at the irony, but let me point out that shaving wasn't exactly as easy or convenient then.
He did have a way, didn't he? And, Alistair, they were at St. Andrews, and yeah, all those portraits, and you know, it's like, yeah, the double or triple razor blade,
quadruple, but yes, yeah.
So yeah, that, leave it to Arnold to find a way to say, yeah, but
yes.
And that was also a couple hundred years ago, or 150 years ago, or what have you, and you know, times change, and of course, we're seeing a lot more of that now, and I'm sure he'd have gotten used to it, but probably secretly would have thought, you know, as we see the proliferation of facial hair on tour and, you know, just in general, that wouldn't be for him.
Now, there's another small chapter, and when I say chapter, it's, you know, two pages, and it's called Downtime.
Right.
He talks about Tiger Woods' decision not to play right now. And I'm not talking about the decision at Safeway Open, of course, because
right.
Arnold Palmer's died before this. But he talks about his own downtime and why he chose to take that downtime. Can you tell us about this?
Well, yeah, it was basically he was not happy with the way he was playing golf and decided that for maybe, you know, the only time in his career, he needed to step away from it a little bit and figure out why he was not performing the way he wanted to. And so you put that into context of well, even what Tiger is saying about why he stepped away from the Safeway Open because of his form, and it puts it in a different light. Look, you play the game at the highest level, and if you don't think you're capable of that, then you're probably pushing the string. You're just not able to, you can't force it sometimes. And Arnold understood that, and he took the necessary steps to find a way to get his game back on track. And of course, he came back and won in 1973 at the Bob Hope Classic.
Exactly. So, he talks about not putting yourself in a position to develop that scar tissue that negative experiences will give you if you're not ready to play. And to recognize that, walk away, find it, and take care of it. And I thought that was extremely cool.
It's instructive.
It is instructive. Exactly. And that's what this book is. On toughness, my father's advice about not listening to too much advice had implications beyond simply avoiding the temptation to tinker with the things in my game that worked. hello, Tiger.
That's right.
And so many others, right? But I've got to ask you, we're talking right now with Dave Shedlosky, Golf World, GolfDigest.com contributor, author, editor, and he worked with Arnold Palmer on Arnold Palmer's final gift to us. And it really is a gift. And this is a perfect gift for this, the holidays are coming. This is such a gift from Arnold Palmer. And it's Arnold Palmer, A Life Well Played. It's my stories. And this book feels so good in your hand. It's
breezy, too. It's a breezy read. It's just, like you said, snippets and just short little thoughts, stories, anecdotes, things that kind of just, it moves along pretty nicely.
It has a cloth-like outer cover, and then the picture of Arnold, it feels like the way this has been presented, it feels like somebody stuck a personal picture of Arnold Palmer on the front cover. So it feels really, really personal. Can I ask you, do you know what Arnold Palmer and Tiger Woods were laughing about the last time Tiger won at Bay Hill? You remember during the trophy presentation when they had that big chuckle?
I know a lot, but I honestly don't know the answer to that. But chances are that they were sharing a laugh about, this was at a time Tiger won in 2013, I think the last time, when I think people were already starting to think that Tiger really wasn't going to be Tiger anymore. And then, lo and behold, that was part of a season in which he won five times and was Player of the Year again. And they were probably laughing about the fact that, see, you showed them. I mean, that would be my guess.
Yes.
Who knows, though?
Yes.
They actually were pretty close, and they could have been laughing about any number of subjects related to, golf or life or whatever.
It's such a dear picture. Thank you, Dave Shedlosky. I'm looking so forward to seeing you when you come over for Tournament of Champions at Kapalua and Sony Open in Hawaii at Waialea. It's going to be awesome. I should say Waialae. I just moved the tournament.
Yes, Waialae Country Club.
Yes, there you go.
Looking forward to seeing the big W. That's what I'm looking forward to.
There you go. And find this book, Arnold Palmer, A Life Well Played, My Stories, and all the proceeds go to ArniesArmy.org, continuing the work that Arnold Palmer continued throughout his lifetime, going on for generations. Aloha, Dave.
Aloha. Thanks, Danielle.
We'll be back after this. We're going to go into the golf kitchen. That's right. Right after this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played,
Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter. But really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
You know, it feels so funny. I don't have the book in front. I'm surrounded by books. Taba Dale is coming up, Summer in Ireland, and I've got Arnold Palmer in my hands. And Golf Kitchen is coming out. Diana DeLucia, golf photographer, and she is a culinary art photographer. All right. When she takes pictures, you know, we all take, and we probably shouldn't, take snapshots of the food we're about to eat, and then we have to send it out to, we need Diana to be with us the whole time. Diana, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Danielle, and great to be here.
You know, do you know what I mean? Everybody's taking pictures of the food. Your pictures are spectacular. Each chapter in the book Golf Kitchen. And Diana is the CEO of Golf Kitchen, internationally recognized culinary writer and photographer. Each of her chapters features the history, the executive and chef interviews, and recipes from the kitchens of Winged Foot, Golf du Palais Royal, and Gold de Lochon in Morocco, and the Ovoy-Verley Golf Club in Mississippi, and the Kingston Heath Golf Club in Australia. The list goes on. Valderrama in Spain. I'm leaving things out. Arnold Palmer's Bay Hill Club and Lodge in Florida. How did you put the list together of all these fabulous golf kitchens featured in your book, Golf Kitchen?
I never really had a solid plan of which golf clubs I was going to visit, Danielle. As I did with my first project, I kind of had a little story behind each club. So with Golf Club World, it was very similar. It led itself, and one golf club led it to the next golf club. So in this case, I contacted Colin Burns, who is the general manager of Winged Foot Golf Club, and they are very progressive in their culinary field at their culinary team, I mean, is very progressive at Winged Foot. And they were very interested in Golf Kitchen and have been my strongest supporters of Golf Kitchen to this date, and we're having the launch dinner at Winged Foot on November the 10th. So once we, let's rewind back there, we, from Winged Foot, I then met Jose Sanchez, from Tradition Golf Club, and then it just went from one club to the next, and I went all over the world.
Yes, you did. You went to the K Club in Ireland, you went to Savonic in New York, and the Emirates Golf Club in Dubai, and the Greenbrier in West Virginia, Dorado Beach, the St. Carlton Reserve in Puerto Rico. Did I meet the Tradition Golf Club in California? All of these, Laguna Long, in Banyan Tree Lang Company, Vietnam. You went to Vietnam?
Yeah, Laguna Lang Co in Vietnam. Correct. Wow. That's a beautiful venue.
Yes. What's it like traveling to Vietnam? You were there.
Vietnam is, they've really opened up their tourism and their golf. And Lang Co is a relatively new development by Nick Faldo Designed Course. It's a stunning place. It's got a lot of culture. You really feel like you're getting away from society when you go to Vietnam. It's a stunning country, and I'd advise any golfers and foodies to travel to Vietnam and get a taste of that themselves. It's absolutely stunning, and the Banyan Tree Resort in Vietnam with the golf course is stunning.
It's fabulous. Now, each one of these fabulous locations, these destinations that some of us can't even get into because they're very, very private and very expensive to become members, all of these have the most amazing golf kitchens where the top chefs in the world are creating, and they're creating recipes. And in Golf Kitchen, the book that Diana will be on November 10th, a Friends of James Beard Foundation dinner featuring chefs from the participating global golf kitchen teams at Winged Foot Golf Club will be there. And they're going to be presenting their food together with the history and the stories. All of these things are in the book, but you're having this dinner. Who's cooking?
We have Chef Rye Waddington, who is my lead chef in Golf Kitchen from Winged Foot and the Winged Foot team. And we also have Executive Chef Nicholas Cuomo, who is flying over from Dubai Golf, and they'll be presenting, I think they have about four creations for us. And we have Doug Blair from Kiowa Island Club, and he's in the Voisey restaurant, which is the Tom Colicchio restaurant at Cacique at Kiowa Island Club. His team is flying up to cook as well. And then we have Anthony Giacfanello from Sabonic Golf Club and their team. So we are going to have a great evening on November the 10th.
In the book, Golf Kitchen, they reveal some of the recipes of the things. I mean, that's very unique. It's a unique opportunity to get into the kitchen and then recreate in your own home. How did you get them to give it up?
A lot of the recipes are very complex, but then we have some really great home recipes like Arnold Palmer's chicken pot pie, as I noticed that you had highlighted on your website, and things of that nature. I don't think the chefs really have, they don't really protect their recipes as such. I mean, it's a work of art. It's something they've worked their whole life to, you know, to be able to do, and to teach others is something that they aspire to.
Oh, that's interesting. I always thought they were very proprietary about, you know, this is what I put in it to make it taste this way. And I, of course, featured Arnold Palmer's pot pie, chicken pot pie, because today we were talking about Arnold Palmer's book that was just completed and was not due to be released until after, not after he died. He wasn't supposed to die. He was going to go in for surgery, and everyone was very hopeful, but he did die. And so the book came out just about the same time. It's like his last gift to us. So I thought it'd be perfect to be able to feature that on the website. I'm going to have to feature so many of the beautiful photographs you've taken of the delectables that are featured in Golf Kitchen. Golf Kitchen is available in pre-order on the website. You can go to golfkitchen.com and pre-order. Do you have, I haven't seen it yet, do you have photographs of the destinations? I imagine you do.
Oh, I do. There's some glorious golf course photography blended in with the food photography. It's absolutely stunning. I have images from many really great golf course photographers in Golf Kitchen, and I really appreciate them allowing me to use their images.
It's beautiful. I was also reading about Golf Kitchen on your website, golfkitchen.com, and on one of the pages about Golf Kitchen, it talks about, in addition to the book itself, the Golf Kitchen community has emerged with significant digital and social media initiatives designed to capture the appetites of golfers, travelers, chefs, food enthusiasts around the globe. Sponsored featured presentations like exclusive chef interviews, recipe of the week, Friday's cocktail, weekend winery from the spa will yield some superb content for viewing and sharing in the digital universe. Will these all be on your website, Golf Kitchen?
Yes, they will. We are planning to expand Golf Kitchen as we go. There will be another Golf Kitchen book in production in 2017, and we will be adding categories as well. One of the categories I'd like to add is the executive suite, and then we'll reveal how some of the CEOs feel about their Golf Kitchen and their input on food in the golf industry.
So the book is Golf Kitchen. You can pre-order it for your foodie, and this would be fabulous for the foodie golfer, you know, the foodie family with the golfer. So it's a coffee table, unique portfolio of recipes, photos, and interviews. It's a 500-plus page coffee table collectible. It's high class, and if it's anything like Diana DeLucia's first book, which was spectacular, Golf Club World Behind the Gates, then this is definitely something you'll want to have at home or as a gift, particularly. This is a really cool gift to give. Diana, I was wondering how many days could I hang out at your house if I could come to the dinner on November 16th? The James Beard Foundation, they're sponsoring it. Are they are they your charity?
James Beard Foundation, they're not sponsoring it. We're actually doing a fundraiser for the Friends of James Beard Foundation, which is a scholarship program. And we've been working, as Wingfoot has been working closely with the James Beard Foundation for several years doing a dinner, and we decided that it would be a good opportunity to have a fundraiser for Friends of James Beard and utilize the book launch to do that. And we're having a great auction on site to raise money as well. So it's going to be a great night, and I'm looking forward to it. As you know, it's 2 years of putting my heart and soul into this project.
Yes.
And I hope everybody enjoys it.
Okay. And proceeds, portions of the proceeds from the book sales benefit World Central Kitchen, finding smart solutions to hunger and poverty around the world. Diana, always a pleasure talking with you. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Danielle.
Aloha. We'll be back right after this with Taba Dale. We're going to go take a stroll. Well, it sounds so funny to say this, you know, but it's a stroll on the old lady. Yes. It's St. Andrews, of course. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's master craftsmen can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call. Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive. Wow! 6 feet past the cup! What was I thinking?
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Taba Dale is author of A Stroll on the Old Lady and A Summer in Ireland. You may know her. You're thinking, I know her name. The Scottsdale Collection. Yes, artwork, art sale, golf art. She became the foremost provider of golf art when the internet really blew up in the way of people going out and finding things and purchasing them. And now everybody does. They say they're going to close someplace for Thanksgiving. That's great. Give those people a day off because we can still shop online. Taba Dale, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for that incredible introduction. Well, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you are an amazing woman. And I was just, you know, going through the things that you've done. I have a three-pager here, you know, on your client list, your articles that have been discussed, you've been talked about, and just amazing what you've done. And the fact that you get to hang out for summers in Ireland and live in Arizona and Scottsdale, what a perfect balance. You know, you don't have to deal with the summer heat.
I feel so blessed. And I'm living proof that if you keep an open mind, you might get something better than what you ask for.
Oh, I like that. Yes, they say be careful of what you ask for. But in your case, you're saying that, you know, you could get something better. So don't worry about what you ask for.
It's true. I could never have dreamed up this life that I have. I just feel so incredibly lucky. And as again, I say, I'm really impressed with all the research you did about me. I have discovered that while I'm writing books, I am so motivated to do research about golf, golf history, golf tradition. And I don't know why. It's just when people say, golf, Taba, why golf? Why'd you choose golf? And I didn't choose it. I feel like it chose me.
Well, golf is everything. I was just talking with Diana about her book, Golf Kitchen, and we just summed everything up in it. It's destination. She went to Vietnam. She saw a new culture that's opening its world to tourism, and she stayed at a fabulous, you know, 5-star-plus place where, you know, you just get food and you get the culture and you get the environment, you get the different ecosystems, you get all of those things, and that all comes with golf. If that's your passion, and if the person you're with isn't that interested in playing, there's so much going on around the course, outside the course, that everybody's happy. I would love to spend a summer in Ireland or Scotland just checking out castles.
Well, come on over. I hope your passport's up to date.
It is.
We have an invitation to come and stay with us. Myself and my partner have a lovely house in a fishing village called Liscannor. It's near Lahinch on the west coast of County Clare.
Wow.
Not far from the Cliffs of Moher. So, come on over.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Don't be surprised if I come
knocking. I'm not inviting everybody who's listening.
I think they understand. You know, I was going through A Stroll on the Old Lady, and I was very impressed with how much research you did, because I decided to go to, these are kind of like Arnold Palmer's My Stories. They're short stories that Taba Dale has written, and then there's a collection here in the book, in particular, A Summer in Ireland, her experiences, but it also holds true A Stroll on the Old Lady, and because she spends so much time in these wonderful places, she really gets to absorb everything, and then she's sharing it with you. So it's a really cool way if you can't travel, and a lot of us can't. A Stroll on the Old Lady, it's a delightful round of golf on the old course, St. Andrews, and other Scottish golf stories. So I went to my birthday. My birthday's in July. It's on the 16th. I couldn't find the 16th, so I found the 17th. July 17th, and this is back in 2013. A guy will try to murder it, Scott said, after we hit our tee shots on the first hole. Now, help me with the pronunciation. Is it Macrahanish?
Macrahanish, yeah.
Macrahanish.
It's on the Kintyre Peninsula. It's quite remote. It's a three-hour drive from Glasgow, but it's one of the most beautiful drives in the world. And in fact, Paul McCartney wrote a story called the Long Winding Road, and that's the road.
That...
And he had a house there. He had a farm there when Linda was alive, his wife Linda, and they loved to go there because they could have such peace and quiet.
Wow, I'm surprised they didn't chopper over, you know, let's get the chopper and chopper over.
They do now, in fact, from Turnberry, you can, they can come over, and there would be people who are staying there. It's a 5-star resort, and they can just hop on over by chopper. And in fact, one year when I was there, I became a member there. The first time I played there in 2003, I was gobsmacked, as they say in Ireland. You know, I was just blown away. It's such a magical, pure, authentic link experience. And I was playing with a member, a lady member, and I just fell in love with the place, and I instantly knew I wanted to be a member, and she proposed me, and you have to be proposed and approved by a couple of members to become a member, and so I've been a member there ever since, and it was just, it was absolute love at first sight. I didn't even care where my ball went, but she just said to me, you know, in her beautiful Scottish accent, she said, now, you just keep your head down, and I'll watch the ball. And then she'd say, that's lovely. She'd always say, that's lovely.
That's beautiful. And that's how golf should be played, you know, in a way that everybody's happy so that no one feels badly about themselves, because that's not having fun. Having fun
well,
Yes?
It's so true. I was going to say, this summer, when I went back in Ireland on a book tour, Emmy Moore-Minster, who is the one who manages my public relations, she said, well, you've got to go back to many of the locales that are featured in the book. So that would be Prestwick, and we did go to Macrahanish, and some other places that were not written about. But, of course, I wrote about them this summer. But and we also played the old course again this summer. But one of the places I went this summer that I'd wanted to go for years and years that I heard about way back in, you know, the first time I went to Scotland, is called Shishkin, and it's a 12-hole course on an island called Arran, the Isle of Arran, and it is in between the west coast, the Ayrshire coast of Scotland, and the Kintyre Peninsula. And it, when we played it this summer in July, I wrote about it, and I said that it was the most fun that I had ever had playing golf, and that if you can't have fun there, then you should give up golf.
Let me just take care of this FCC requirement. KPUA Hilo, KGUFM Honolulu, KGUAM Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. So, we're talking about two separate books now. We're talking about A Stroll on the Old Lady, and they're talking about, you know, St. Andrews and a revered old lady. A delightful round of golf on the old course, St. Andrews, and other Scottish golf stories. And then A Summer in Ireland is what Taba Dale wrote, Life and Golf on the Emerald Isle. So this is for anybody who wants to kind of get a feel. They're going to go to Scotland. You've always wanted to go to Scotland. You've always wanted to go to Ireland. You've always wanted to go both. And maybe you don't have, you know, 2 months. So you should read A Summer in Ireland and A Stroll on the Old Lady. And so I go to July 16th. Oh, A Summer in Ireland has my birth date in it. Not too bullish on boats. Not too bullish on boats. And Taba, when I was speaking with her about, you know, living for months in this beautiful place that she lives of the summertime, that there are these large creatures walking around, large creatures that we don't usually see marching around, right? In the middle of just middle of God and country, and right there, this huge cow.
Oh my goodness. Well, I didn't grow up on a farm. You know, I'm from Washington, D.C. originally, and so I might have heard the sound of birds, bird song, bird chatter early in the morning, but I found living in Ireland, it was really amazing. One story I wrote is called Waking to the Whinny, and that's because there were horses around as well. But in the field right next to ours, which is separated by a beautiful, old, ancient, dry rock wall, was an entire herd of cows. And I gave them names. There was Elsie, like the Borden cow. She was sort of that golden color. And Lucy, she's named after Lucille Ball because she had red curly hair. And they're my friends. They're my neighbors.
Yes, yes. And then in this one story about her experience, but not being able to take a boat ride to this lovely destination because it was just too rough, or there was something up with the boat, or there's all of a sudden this noise she's hearing, this strange wail of a whale, like, you know, whale, large wailing sound. And she discovered that, what was it, a bull that wanted to
get
in?
It was a big bull.
And he saw the girls over on the other side of the wall that he couldn't get through?
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. Every place I went, whether it was a block away or a mile away, and I was walking quite a bit, there was a magical occurrence. And I just went, you know, when I wrote that book, actually I didn't even know I was writing a book at the time I was writing it, I just gave myself an assignment to try to fill one page. And I did that. I did it 60 times, and it turned into a book. But I wanted to focus on what was different and special and beautiful about living someplace in Ireland, someplace in particular, versus visiting. Because when you're someplace only for a day or two, you don't really get to absorb the culture, the flora, the fauna, the people, and in Ireland, it's the music, it's the humor. And then there's the Celtic culture, which is underneath all the contemporary culture. It's fascinating.
It's beautiful. Research on Irish owls is in here. There's the lichen rock wall that blooms. This is a summer in Ireland and a stroll on the old lady. I recommend Taba Dale. You can find, what is your website, Taba?
Well, my website is actually called Clare House Publishing because we live in County Clare. So it's Clare, clarehousepublishing.com. And then, of course, the books are both on Amazon, and there's an e-book version, Kindle version, e-book, Nook, whatever reader you have, e-reader you have. So it's available both in print and as an e-book.
Taba Dale, thanks so much for being on the show.
My pleasure, my privilege. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Aloha. We're going to come back and meet a young lady who's created Turf Life. Turf Life. Hey, it has to do with all of us. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter. But really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Teed up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it and rip it. Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Terry Purdom, founder Turf Life, or maybe they call her the founding farmer, publisher of Southern Golf Central magazine. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Danielle. I just
We kind of got laid away last week because of the storm. So
I know.
I've been excited to talk to you.
How did it come? I mean, we thought it was barreling up the Florida coast.
Oh, my gosh. We were told we were going to die.
Well,
but you know what? I'm glad it was that kind of urgency because you know how people get complacent. Everything was fine. You know, there were some fatalities. But the good part of that is all the golf courses were cleaned up and open. Like after the weekend, they had a lot of time. Some trees down and stuff like that. A lot of people are out of power. But everything's grooving right along now.
Yeah, so. You were blessed because that storm, Matthew, just went along. It never actually made landfall in Florida. It just skirted the shoreline.
Yeah.
A lot of wind, a lot of rain, but then it went offshore in South Carolina. And just, I mean, that's, if you look at pictures of what happened there and you think of what can happen, we're always in Hawaii. There, for years, there was a Hurricane Dot in the 50s. And then in the 80s, this thing called Hurricane Eva. And 30 years goes by, there's no hurricane, right? And nobody's
right.
taking it for seriously at all. And everybody's going, nah, 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 you know, and I'm saying there's a hurricane watch in effect and there's a hurricane. And nobody knows what it means. Hurricane watch? Hurricane warning? I don't know. What? You know?
A watch? A warning?
Yeah, what is that? You know, then we got nailed by Iniki, Kauai, just completely nailed. And
there's wait. There was a storm named Iniki?
Iniki. It's a you know, kind of a whole why
Hawaiian name.
Yes, why does Iniki? Does that strike you, Cord?
No, but I love it. I want to name something that now because it's got such rhythm. I'm going to go name a tree in my house Iniki.
Okay, it's I N I K I. If you make
okay.
it Aniki, it won't have the same kind of negativity.
Iniki. So let me tell you what a dork I tried to be. I tried to go find the Hawaiian way to say turf life and come out with some pinhole life. I couldn't get to it, so I'm going to let Danielle take the lead, and I'll just fill in there when she needs me.
That's great. That's great that you tried to do something local. Now, you know, and turn it in. But turf, you know, Aina. Aina is the land.
Aina is the land.
Is the land, and but it means a lot of different things. You know, it means the life of the land. It means, you know, the power, the energy, the Aina, the feeding of people, the giving, the caring for all of those. It's
oh, see, that's what turf life is all about. That's exactly right on. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad I came on your show. This is perfect because
yes.
I can use this dialogue going forward when I do shows in the future.
Good.
And you get it, don't you, Danielle?
Yeah, yes.
You see what turf life is and what we're doing.
Yes, and for people who may not are like turf life. Turf, it's not just golf. It's football, soccer, lacrosse, polo. Horses run on turf. You know, it's got to be right, well kept. Turf is that on which we play. But now that everybody's working on creating some sustainable turf so that you don't
Thank
have to
you.
Water it all the time.
Or
right?
salt-tolerant grass or
yes.
drought-tolerant grass. I mean, because we're surrounded, as you are, surrounded by salt water. And we live on an aquifer that's got salt, brackish water coming into it. So some of our agronomy specialists here, golf course superintendents, I like to call them my supermen, their assistants. These people, the point is, a part of it is they know what they're doing. The pride of a man who takes care of Yankee Stadium or the women that take care of, you know, football fields and striping, they know what they're doing. So that's what Turf Life's all about. There are people out there who don't understand. We have to be concerned about watering. We have to be concerned about fertilizing. And, you know, we have to know, as long as that's our happy space, is to go out on that green grass, that this is a whole progressive movement that we've started, Danielle. And I literally started this 17 years ago with Southern Golf Central. Back then, we were Florida Golf Central. And I have mad love, mad respect for the men and women that maintain turf because I helped with the Turf Grass Association. So I thought, you know, I need to have a cool little article in there that tells the consumer golfers about what the maintenance people are up against. You know, why are they aerifying? Why is it so important to, you know, fix your ball mark? It's the killer of the green. You know, don't leave your cigar butts. Keep your butts off the course is one of my articles I wrote about it. But always paying respect to that and trying to educate people about the respect of the turf. And since golf, believe it or not, all those sports that you just mentioned, yes, all turf sports, golf is the number one amount and the biggest economic impact of maintaining turf is golf.
period, across the board. So, and of course, I own a golf magazine, and I started that, you know, feature back years ago, a guy by the name of Joel Jackson, and anybody who's in the turfgrass, oh, Joel, yeah, no, we know him, we love him. And he was very Disney-esque in his writing skills, so he was a pretty cool guy to, you know, like he didn't just talk about it like he was an agronomy guy. He talked about it like the layperson wanted to hear it. The members of the she country clubs wanted to understand, like, why are we doing this right now, and why can't I go out there, you know, with spikes on? And you've been around long enough to know that we came through that progression of to soft spikes now,
yeah.
And there's a reason, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I do a segment on with a golf course superintendent. And I always want to get golf course superintendents on my show to talk about how we're supposed to behave on the turf.
Beautiful.
Because
I love that.
Well,
I love that about you right now. I'm sending you free Turf Life stuff. Oh, my gosh. I'm giving you a Turf Life decal.
Okay.
Which, by the way, I want to mention.
Yes.
TurfLife.club is the website.
Yes.
Hey, tell me about your segment. What do you do?
Well,
we talk about
whatever, you know, happens to be, let's say if the legislature is talking about doing something that may impact a golf course superintendent, or we'll talk about what a person needs to do to fix a ball mark. Maybe they're afraid to. Maybe they think you're going to do it wrong, you know. So we talk about the best way to do that. What if I don't have a ball mark repair tool? You know, well, just use your tee. You know, you can do that too. It's so simple. What about a divot? You know, how much sand? All those things that go into it. Taking care of the course, taking care of the ina, taking care of your
respect.
Land.
It's part of the first tee. It's part of the reach program. It's part of everything that we want to be champions of is, you know, inclusion and diversity and making it fun. And for me, making it fun is, you know, you got to bring turf sexy back. You got to make it like fun to talk about. And we've got some really cool apparel that we sell to try to help promote the awareness. So mom and dad soccer people know, you know, like what it really takes. And it's like you said the word legislature there for a moment.
Yes.
That is so important. We have to go to Tallahassee and lobby in order to be able to spray chemicals. Not Mr. and Mrs. Jones that spray nitrogen all over the yard. They have no clue what they're doing. But the people, the agronomy specialists, these people have degrees. They know what they're doing. I just did a piece on the head agronomist at Bandon Dunes. Everybody's familiar with Bandon Dunes. And Ken Nice is his name. You should have him on the show sometime. He's a pretty cool guest.
Love to.
He's the winningest basketball coach in that whole area. Well, that's a nice little human interest piece about a guy who's not just the head agronomy guy, Bandon Dunes of all places, but he's also a basketball coach. So their personalities, and some of them have bands, and they're brethren in the respect for each other worldwide, not just, you know, somebody who needs to know how I do it, what I need to do after a frost in North Carolina. It's just as much what somebody needs to do in Hawaii with, you know, the tropical atmospheres that you guys have to deal with and grow grass.
Yes.
So it's a real cool mand of respect, and we need everybody to be in on it. And that's the whole progressive movement. Jack Nicklaus started a public service announcement that we run in Southern Golf Central called, If You Love Golf As Much As I Do, Thank Your Golf Course Superintendent.
Absolutely.
It is awesome. Now, Charles Barkley is the star of it. Justin Timberlake is the next guy that's coming in the ad campaign.
That's fantastic.
John Elway, you know who John Elway
is? Of course. Doesn't he play something called football? I'm not sure. Is that that?
You'd be surprised. Okay. I go to these NFL parties all the time, and I don't know. I just look for the big ones that are limping.
Yeah,
and I go, yeah, that's a retired player right there. I got it. Okay, I'm playing with him. Okay, good.
I'm talking with Terry Purdom. She's the founder of Turf Life, or Founding Farmer. Turf Life.
Founding Farmer.
Founding
Planting
Farmer.
The seed.
That's right.
She's growing the game.
And Turf Life is a brand that salutes the consumer and industry players whose lives revolve around turf. And basically, yours does too. If you own a home and you've got turf, anything that we talk about turf on the golf course or turf on a football field, if they have the luxury of having actual grass,
right.
That applies to your turf, where whatever it happens to be. And I always, when I had a home, it's like, God, I never owned one. I rented one, but I always wanted my lawn to look like, you know, the kids could go out there and not get hurt by the brambles. We have some of the most vicious little, called sleeping grass. And that stuff, you touch it and its little leaves close up and exposes the
thorn. Oh, I've seen that. I saw that the other day on Facebook. And I've never seen it before.
It exposes its thorns.
Oh, did not know that one.
It's a little vicious creature. And I want to take a quick break, Terry, and then we're going to come back and talk about...
You want me to stay?
Yes,
okay,
of course. Of course. I want to talk about the bling t-shirt.
I'm wearing one now.
Wait, just another day at the golfus. Golfus.
Yes, how do you like that?
I love that.
Just another day at the golfus.
We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
We're talking with turflife.club. She is Terry for, I had to say that, Turf.
I love you.
Turflife.club.
Club.
Yes. She's the founder of Turf Life. Her name is Terry Purdom, and she had me at Switzerland. Okay, we've got about 5 minutes, Terry, to go through the latest Surf and Turf Award, but you've got to tell me first. Switzerland? You had me at Switzerland. I lived in Switzerland when I was a kid with my grandmother.
One of my partners is over there. Yeah, no, I saw that. And, you know, the turf, the importance is all over the country. And people over there were used to farming. Back in the day, you know, Switzerland's real, like, it's watches. Is what they
It's farms, man. We got to feed our...
Yes.
The Swiss people are very much about self-sustaining and growing your own vegetables. They've been doing that in their backyards for, oh, I don't know, since World War II.
I come from a farm country. That's
there
why I have this mad love and mad respect for people who grow things.
So your friend, you met Bob Bissell and his brother...
Yeah, he's one of my partners. He played football, and he called it his happy space. He's an attorney, but he's like, turf life is the happy space. You know, that he played football in college, but it's his brother, and it's one of our partners over in Switzerland, and, you know, they dig it. They play golf. They've all played turf sports. But, like, again, you know, we all respect the farming property. And I got to tell you, I'm coming from East Tennessee, so, you know, couldn't to Florida when I was 18. I'm 56. So I've been here more than most of my life. But I love the farm life. And, oh, I must give a shout-out.
Yes.
One of my family just had their first child. It's the first Nitschke child to be born on the Hawaiian island. So Jackson Nitschke, I just wanted to say that because they're listening, and I thought that was cool. That's where the respect comes
from. What's the baby's name?
Jackson Nitschke. They're German.
Oh, Nitschke. Hi, baby Nitschke. Oh, that is so cool. That is so cool. Okay.
And his dad was one of the first people to teach me how to drive a tractor. And I knew that you had the Arnold Palmer story on there earlier, too.
Yes.
And I got to read that whole book, and there's one segment in there about the tractor and his love-hate relationship, because his dad was a groundskeeper, right?
Yes.
And he said, driving that tractor, there was no power steering. He said, that's what gave me these arms to play the game that I wanted to. What a devilishly good-looking man he was, wasn't he?
Wow.
Oh, I had it. I told him he was my boyfriend. Are you cutting? You got to cut me short. You see this, Danielle?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the time. That's what's cutting me short, okay? We're almost out of time, and I got to thank the people who make this show possible. But there's the Miramichi Green folks who are getting the Surf and Turf Award. They got it
in
August.
Yes, they received that.
It's the Turf Life folks who give out the Miramichi Green, they give out the Surf and Turf Award. And it's actually Servin, S-E-R-V-I-N, apostrophe, turf. But it's surf and turf put together. I can't even go into why you've put surf and turf together, because I promised that we'd tell people where they can get the bling shirt that I want, but I can't decide between, maybe I should get both. The bling.
You can get whatever you want.
The bling shirt, and then we get, the golfist? I'm
just another day at the golfist.
Yes.
And we actually have original artwork on there by Vincent Van Golf. It looks like Starry, Starry Night, but it's Starry, Starry Golf. And people love the long sleeve shirts here because they protect themselves from the sun. But it's a real lightweight. It's real thin, and it's pre-shrunk. I mean, people are going nuts for this stuff, Danielle, and wear our loudmouth pants and skort. And I always wear a skort, yes.
Yes, yes.
And it's just a repetitive pattern of Turf Life, Turf Life. The Penn High on Life logo, which is what the bling shirts are, is our message to people about, get high out there on the course. Be high on nature. Be high playing sports out on the grass. And, don't hurt yourself with trying to have too much fun and getting too high. So that's the Penn High on Life. But, just another day at the golfist. All the golf course superintendents, everybody who's ever sold a tractor or a chemical or anything, they're like, oh, my God, we get it. Thank you.
Yes.
It's respect for us, know.
And you can get all of this at turflife.club, and then you can find out more about everything that Turf Life does. And it's just so cool. I have found myself a soul sister here.
Absolutely. Farm. We are now.
We're farm girls. And, grow up bringing.
And welcome anybody that wants to recommend a Serve and Turf Award person that they think is deserving because they've served the turf somewhere. Call us up at 321-765-4215 or go to the website and nominate your favorite man or woman that's done something extreme or just needs to be recognized because they are that person. They are Turf Life.
You'll have to be on the show again sometime because we've run out of time.
No problem. I get that almost every radio show, if you can tell. I know, right?
You're out. Okay. Aloha.
Thank you so much, Danielle. I enjoyed it.
Great.
Good energy.
Founder. Yeah,
have a groovy weekend.
You too. Let's thank the people who make this show possible. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, and boy, do they have a hot golf course superintendent who's taking care of Poipu Bay Golf Course. Hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years, an outstanding golf course, well cared for golfers of all abilities. It's the Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. I got to tell you, Creative Plumbing, it doesn't matter whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, you're a custom home, you're a little Makiki house, maybe you're a little Manoa house, and you've been sitting there for, 1920s or 1930s, and boy, you need some new plumbing because, all of us need our pipes taken care of. Doesn't matter how old, and especially when you get older. You got to call Creative Plumbing because it's got to be done right, and that's Creative Plumbing. Futurastone's master craftsman can turn your building, your company, your home project into artwork and be environmentally friendly at the same time. That's the beauty of Futurastone. When they're putting in their pavers to make, let's say, your parking lot area, they put a beautiful mesh so the water table. The water is protected. Our aquifer is protected from anything that might seep down between the pavers. It won't go in there. So you can be certain with Futurestone, only the best. And of course, Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year. He's a Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified, Golf Channel lead coach. He's featured on Morning Drive, Golf Channel, Academy Live. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. He's at Ko'olina. Thank you for your mana. Thank you for joining us this morning. You can always find the show at radiogolfclub.com. That's where the podcast of today's show is, so you can listen if you missed part of it. My name is Danielle Tucker. Aloha.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2016.